Hello and welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kann, author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower: How to Harness Your Gifts, Fulfill Your Purpose, and Create a Life of Joy. And I absolutely love, love, love interviewing people who are doing some really neat things with regards to self-healing. Because for those that have been following, you know that I was in the movie The Inside Effects. And that's free, by the way, at theinsideeffects.com. It's all about the body healing itself. So I'm literally at the Lake Clear Lodge. We're doing this launch of this movie, and my very, very, very good friend, Kathy Hohmeyer, she says, "You've got to interview Kathleen Iggy." And I said, "Who's that?" She said, "You're the sound lady." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm intrigued. Sound? Oh, that's very interesting. I'm very interested in that." And she's, "Oh yeah, it's all about humming for health." I'm like, "That's even more interesting to me, right?" So it's been a while, but it's like scheduling and all sorts of things. And finally, we are so happy to have Kathleen here. And let me share a little bit of more about her before I formally welcome her. She is known as the Sound Lady. She offers a very unique approach to holistic wellness through sound energy. With over 20 years of experience as a bioacoustic research associate, she specializes in voice energy analysis for sports or muscle injuries. As a classically trained musician with a background in music education and French horn from Ithaca College, so closer to where I am in New York, and graduate work at Yale University in French horn and conducting, Kathleen combines science and intuition to provide sound-based harmonic healing. Her services at thesoundlady.com includes personal chakra scale sessions, a guided meditation which vibrates your chakras with your voice to calm emotions, and how to take a sonic selfie to see how to use customized notes to balance your energy. Kathleen's journey from symphony orchestra to sound healing was propelled by her personal experiences with the power of sound. Sound energy emerges as a non-invasive, side effect-free alternative for those sensitive to pharmaceuticals. Yes. It also offers a self-healing approach through personalized frequencies gleaned from recordings of your own voice. So this is super, super exciting to have you here, Kathleen. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.
It's my pleasure. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet you. Now, you probably don't know this, but I actually studied classical piano for quite a number of years. Now, piano is probably the easiest instrument to play, but all Chinese, children in Canada, first generation, they all know how to play the piano, and many of them they do flute and violin, and I just didn't have the bandwidth for that. But so I am classically trained, and I've always loved to sing. And what's very interesting is I never once thought about humming per se as, for lack of a better word, a healing modality. And here you are with this amazing book, Humming for Health. And so that got me super intrigued. So love to hear your story of how did you become, Kathleen, the French horn player, to become the sound lady. Tell us that.
Well, my mother taught us how to play piano. My mother was could play piano re really well, and there were four of us kids. And she said, we were all around second. I was in the second grade. My brother's in the third grade. We were little, but we got a piano from my dad worked at a telephone company, and they were going to throw out the old upright piano. He was like, "No, don't throw that out. My wife plays piano. We don't have a piano. I want to put it in my house." And so the story of the piano coming, so he comes over with his friends. He got the piano in the truck, and the piano won't fit through the front door. So my dad, who has a high school education, took it all apart, laid the keys out on the grass, brought it in piece by piece, put it back together, and it worked.
No. Wow.
That was pretty good. I was very
That's
impressed.
impressive.
So mom said, "We got to play the piano. It was a half an hour a day for a year. And if we didn't want to do it after that, we didn't have to follow up on it, but you had to give it a chance." So I remember she'd put the timer on the stove. "Okay, Stephen plays for half an hour, then ding, then Kathy, your turn, ding." And we would all, play our piano,
Mark.
but I was the only one who kept it up. Of course, when I was in high school then, my brothers and sisters were jealous that I'm sitting at the piano playing and everyone's standing around singing and they're not.
Of course. I
But
know
that
that
was back when we sat around the piano and sang songs too. I mean,
Yeah.
that doesn't happen the way it used to.
That's beautiful.
So I went into classical music because it had such a wide breadth of emotional hostile emotional expression. I felt like it was, I mean, I could write little songs, like popular types of songs, and that would be one thing. But if I, if I heard my mother playing Rachmaninoff on the piano, I was like, there's, that's solid. There's a lot of emotion there. Yeah. So I felt that in order to really express the breadth and depth of my feelings, which I always thought were pretty expansive, I needed to know classical music and I needed to become really good at it. And the French horn was just an instrument that the band director needed at the time. When I was in seventh grade, I went up to him and I said, "Look, I already know how to play piano. I can read music. What do you need?" And he said, well, he gave me a little pamphlet of the brass instruments, and I looked at the French horn and said, this is the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play, and it often has beautiful solos, beautiful melodies. I thought, right there, that's the one I want to play.
Fascinating.
So that's how I picked it, and played for, gosh, the symphony orchestras probably for about 25 years, and then just felt that I had a wider, deeper understanding of the power of music than just to entertain people. That it was had more power than what I was, working with. And as much fun as I loved playing in an orchestra, I really think it was the 1812 overture that made me a sound healer. And I say that
Really?
because in Massachusetts, you play the 1812 overture several times a year. You're going to play it at the 4th of July, probably at a Christmas concert, maybe at a spring concert. I mean, you play it. And I noticed on one of these occasions, in one of the orchestras I was playing with, we're doing the, for the umpteenth time, the 1812 overture, and the older violinists are just kind of calling it in, like they played it many times and they were like, oh, geez, here we go again, And I said to myself, I don't want to end up like that. There's just too much here. And so I remembered I made a decision to stop playing what I affectionately called dead men's music. And I thought, well, where's my music? What are my sounds? And I remember the first time I decided to sit down in front of a music stand with no music on it with my French horn. Because I had spent years learning how to interpret every one of those little black dots, on that page,
Exactly.
and how to fit it in with all the other instruments perfectly in balance.
Crescendo, decrescendo.
All of that, blend, tuning. So you really become a great listener, and I love listening. So, that was fun. But I didn't want to play pieces over and over again just to entertain people. I knew there was more power to sound. And when I healed myself from asthma around the time I was 40 by finding a note that vibrated my lungs, I've always played with sound. So that's key. I mean, I enjoy playing with sound. So where some people might think, oh, it's easier to take a pill, I think, what note can I hum? Right. So I found a note that vibrated my lungs. And I hummed it. I figured out what the note was on the piano. I got out my horn and I played the note on the horn and I sang a perfect fifth above it into the horn at the same time. And that creates this enormous chord. And all of the harmonics of the sounds that I was creating really, moved the energy in my lungs. And so I did it for 20 minutes a day. And after a few months, I didn't have to take my inhalers anymore. I stopped doing it every day. I did it every now and then, and my asthma went away, and I was a believer. I was sound has the power to change matter.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is so cool. You can actually sing a harmonic into the French horn?
Yeah. Well, the
Oh.
French horn is just something that really amplifies and resonates the buzzing that you're doing with your lips. So if
Oh, I
you're
see. I don't
right,
know how to play the French horn. Oh,
so
okay.
that sound goes into the horn. So if you go, you're and
God.
on the horn, you can hear all the harmonics better, and it's much nicer sound. So yeah, and humming and buzzing is, Buzzing can, your brain is sitting in the synovial fluid,
Right.
get that synovial fluid vibrating and moving, your brain gets really happy.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. Yeah, like it was just different from just singing a note open,
When, well,
right?
yes, very different because your face is vibrating because of the your lips are going.
Mm.
But the thing about humming is when you keep your mouth closed, all the vibrations stay inside your body.
Okay.
And then you can use your voice to direct the sound inside of your body, high notes, low notes, and you can find the part of your body to vibrate with your voice. And that's really, I mean, you're talking about a superpower, being, sensitivity. And I think we have a superpower in our voice that we have no idea how to use. We've never been taught. And I've discovered it through playing with sound.
Oh, that is super cool. Now I know that there's a small number of people who've recognized that humming is can be extremely powerful for healing. So can you give us, some stories or things that you've experienced over the years, and which led you to write the book, et cetera, et cetera?
I've worked for a long time with Sherry Edwards in bioacoustics, which was all very computer-based, frequency analytical software, all of that, and
Right.
it was unattainable to the average person. I mean, it takes a real unusual skill set to be able to do that type of work, to be able to have the computer prowess to move back and forth between the programs, to know the anatomy of the body and a little bit
Oh,
about
okay.
biochemistry. I mean, people skills, healing skills. I mean, it's hard to put all of that together, so there aren't a lot of people who do it really well. And I thought, there's going to be a day when we don't have electricity, and then what am I going to do? We're going to be up the creek, and I just wanted to find ways to make it more accessible, and the voice was just the number one
Made sense.
way. There's a very important connection between the voice, the ear, and the brain. Doreen Davis, who is an audiologist, has written several books on this, but basically, the sounds that you make with your voice are being heard by your brain. The sounds that you're making with your voice are being informed by the vagus nerve, which is like coming up from the lower part of the body. It intertwines with the vocal cords, goes right up to the brain. So there's all of this information that's in the sound of your voice. It's biofeedback to the brain
Okay.
about the health of the body. So you
Okay.
can, because you can tell by the sound of someone's voice if they're not well. You
Right.
can tell if they're tired. You can tell if they didn't get enough sleep. The voice, if you listen, and I'm a listener, if you really listen, you can hear all kinds of things in people's voice. Too much fire, not enough water, too much earth, all too much air. You can just hear imbalances in the voice. But when you have a balanced voice, people want to listen to you. People
Interesting.
hear you and they instantly trust you. They
Huh.
feel the balance.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you, and I didn't ask Sherry this when she was on the podcast a month or two ago. I noticed that as well, in general, when people get older, their voice seems to get lower. And I don't know if that is just, I don't want to say normal, natural, or is that some like kidney chi deficiency, or like, is that a thing?
Well, it does happen as people get older. I always thought it was that people were smoking when they were younger, and when you smoke,
Oh,
your voice
right.
is lower. I it's a it's the it's just probably the muscles getting looser, maybe.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too, and I don't understand. Is it some kind of a deficiency? I mean, I'm 71 years old, and my voice is the same as it was when I was, 20.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it depends how you use your voice. I mean, I'm humming all the time,
True.
and if you use your voice and it's strong, and I've got a really wide range from like a low C to a high, like a 3 octave
Nice.
range. So if it's something that you work with, on a regular basis, I don't see any reason why you can't keep same sound.
Okay. Yeah, that's very interesting. Last year I ran a camp, and this was the first live in-person camp that I was able to do since the pandemic. And so, we had a group of people. Well, I started losing my voice. And of course, it was like, how many hours a day of talking and singing and doing all this stuff. Now, luckily, I had, wonderful people in that were the students who also helped out with the yelling part. Come on to the room, things like that. But I thought it was really fascinating was that my voice is still not the same now as it was almost a year ago, which is fascinating. One of the gals that was part of the camp, she said that she had been a camp counselor at some point, something like that. And she was yelling, at the top of her lungs for days and days and days. And she got a raspy voice. And she said it took her 8 months, I think, to recover from that, which I thought was extraordinarily a long time. But I'm here at 11 months. And the voice, like I am now an alto, where I used to be a mezzo soprano, if you will. I thought it, yeah, so I sing more like Karen Carpenter than I do, I was like, wow, what is that? I mean, I didn't tell that to Sherry, but
No, but it has to do with how much air support you have behind in your breathing, as you speak. Now, playing the French horn, being a professional French horn player, I had to be able to take a deep breath and play X amount of notes, and then take a deep breath and play another X amount of notes. So I became, really proficient at breathing, taking a quick deep breath, and then using that to support the sound of the voice. So if you are using your voice and you're not taking deep breaths, you're going to be straining your voice, and that's going to happen. You're going to start to lose it. So it's about and a way to get it back would be very gentle humming.
Ooh, okay, good. I wasn't sure what to do exactly.
Very gentle humming, and to find the notes that your body likes. Just experiment. And how does this note feel? Where do I feel it in my body? But the notes around your vocal cords are going to be notes that are really kind of in the your roundhouse. I'm thinking of a word that you're strong is it where your speaking voice is. If you start
Like that
so.
range.
Yeah, right there, right. So I'm kind of talking here on this note here, and this is a note that's going to vibrate this part of my body. Whereas if I was talking up here, I'm going to feel the sound more up here. Down here, it's really low. I can feel it down in my stomach. So, learning how to use the air to support the breath if you're projecting and you have to talk a lot,
I do.
you have to use your. You have to take a deep breath. And I teach everyone how to take a deep breath. It's very easy. The body already has a system in place for taking air in, oxygen in when it needs it. It's called a yawn. Right? When you need oxygen, you don't think about yawning. Your body just says, yawn, quick, you need oxygen. And so what happens when if you can simulate that yawn, so your mouth is wide open, your tongue is low in the back of your throat, and you can just gulp down a big bunch of air. So, and that's what I had to do as a horn player. I had to get a lot of air fast, quickly. But if I mean you can also take a slow, deep inhale, through your nose too, and fill things up. But I explain about the diaphragm muscle and how you want to engage the diaphragm muscle. If I say to people, take a deep breath, and they go,
And their chest goes like this.
I think there isn't a lot of lung capacity up here, right? So I kind of explain about the diaphragm. I say it kind of sits like an upside down salad bowl on top of your innards, right? I'm not a doctor, but I say, when you inhale, it does this, makes room for your lungs to expand to get more air. And now you've got this down here so you can push the air up. You can control the amount of air that comes out and how fast it comes out because you've taken a deep breath and you've engaged the muscle. So I try to explain that to people that I'm, working with humming, but
Well,
there.
that was one of the things I remember in acupuncture, and we would have people on the table, and we would practice breathing. And like you said, a lot of people were like, breathing up here, and we were teaching them how to do a belly breath or a qigong, kind of
Okay.
breath. And our way of practicing, because they had no idea what I was talking about, right? They just couldn't do it. We would actually, my acupuncture colleague, she had one of those big, pharmacopoeia books on Chinese herbs. It was nice and heavy. So she would actually plop it on their belly. And they
Gotcha.
would practice breathing in so they would expand so the book would rise and fall, and they would have to go home and practice,
Yes.
breathing on their bed with this book. But so many people don't do that. And I got to tell you, Kathleen, one of my things is I don't exhale fully. Like I may take a deep breath in, but I'm doing block therapy, and one of the things she does is she has this block that we lie on. And boy, when you first start block therapy, it is not comfortable because that diaphragm, and many people is as weak, because they don't really breathe properly. And so we're breathing against this block, and then she instructs us to exhale fully through the nose, fully. And I realize I don't do that. I just don't think of it. But I think with the humming, that would be a way, because we're consciously
Well,
humming
you're gonna
and you
run out
run
of
out
air
of
and
air.
you're
Right,
gonna breathe.
exactly.
Yeah. I even with the people that I work with as in the senior community with Alzheimer's and dementia, people, doing activities. And I have them humming and I teach them, how to take a deep breath. It's so important. And I say, okay, take a deep breath and hum whatever note you can for as long as you can. Some of them can do it for 6 seconds, some of them can do it for 10 seconds. Some of them can do it for 15 seconds, but I try to encourage them, taking that deep breath and humming. Where do you feel that hum in your body? Let's sing the highest note. Hum the highest note you can possibly hum. Take a deep breath. This is how we end our exercises. We cool down by humming. And I have them hum high notes, hum low notes, and I just have them do a
Ooh, I like that. That's cool.
yeah, and then.
Okay, my voice breaks at that top where I used to be able to do it.
Yeah, no, but using your voice like that, using the air to carry the sound, but I mean, that's something interesting. I haven't heard about someone not completely emptying out, or not that you have to completely empty out, but you said you don't fully exhale.
Yeah,
It's
just
just,
everyday breathing, like
yeah.
talking, working at the computer, things like that. I realize that I don't fully push my belly in to fully exhale. And of course, the vested interest is that, the Deanna Hansen, the block therapy teacher, was talking about the study. How they did it, I don't know. They radioactively labeled carbon atoms in fat, like excess fat, and found that these carbon atoms, when the person was losing weight or losing fat, these carbon atoms actually came out of their breath. So the carbon dioxide is actually how we lose fat. And I'm like, well, I need to learn how to exhale properly. Otherwise, like, why do all this CrossFit, right? And that's the funny thing is doing some CrossFit exercises, sometimes I'm literally out of breath. And we used to be taught that's really bad for you, but now we're realizing that actually for most people, of course, everyone has to like tune in and whether that's appropriate for them, but you work up to it. It's actually having a peak, they call it high intensity interval training nowadays, that actually smaller amounts of exercise that are intense can actually be more helpful for heart conditioning, cardiovascular conditioning than long periods of like 60 minutes of walking or 60 minutes of aerobics. So I end up breathing a lot during those times.
Yeah, great. Keep doing it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So if someone has, say, so say they have a thyroid issue, right? And they're like, hey, Kathleen, is there like a note that I should be singing to help, vibrate my thyroid? How would you respond?
Okay, so Sherry Edwards in all of her brilliance. Has found that there are sort of universal notes that affect everyone in the same way. Like there's a note for the thyroid, there's a note for the in like stomach and the digestive organs. There are different notes that will work for everyone. And so kind of universally, according to the Sherry system, I think it's the note D is a thyroid note. But and what I've done, I kind of took that one step further. And because I had this, well, let's talk about chakras for a minute. So back in the 90s, I was doing, meditations on my chakras. And given that I'm a musician and I live with my ears and my eyes are kind of an afterthought, I mean, I see everything, but I'm not really interested in a lot of detail. I'm just kind of looking at the big picture all the time with my eyes, but I'm listening intently, with my ears. So when I thought there's got to be a way, if chakras are real, I should be able to, and they're connected to the body etherically, but they're connected, right, to the major glands of the endocrine system, right, the chakras. So I thought if they're real, because after a couple of years, I was like, this is all a bunch of woo-woo. It's not real. These chakras don't exist. I don't feel them. I don't see them. How can I just believe that they exist? So I said, I'm going to find the sound that vibrates the chakras, and then I'll believe if I can feel the chakras vibrating. And I had read in a book a long time ago, I think it was called Spiritual Dimensions of Music. I don't think it's even in print anymore. But there is one sentence that said, you just need to, hum the lowest note you can comfortably sing, and you can vibrate your root chakra. Really? So I started humming low notes. And darned if I didn't feel a vibration in my sacrum. And I was, they're real, they exist. And then I found, so I hummed up a little bit higher, found the next note that vibrated the sacral area of my body, hummed up a little bit solar plexus, and kept coming up the scale. And when I did it with other people, I realized the scale is the same for everybody. It's basically a,
Okay. It,
it's
what
not.
if their chakra's not balanced? It's still the same note? Okay.
But we all have our own chakra, personal chakra scale that depends on the range of our voice. So the lowest note that I can sing is going to be different from the lowest note that you can sing,
Okay.
right? So we all start on a different note, but after you have that first note, it's the same progressions of whole steps and half steps. It's basically,
Oh, I see.
it's a linear scale.
Gotcha.
Instead of being do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, your chakra scale is do, re, mi, fi, sol, la, ti, do. You got that F sharp in there instead of the F natural. Because if you just sing the fa, you're going to feel it kind of down here. And if you sing the fi, you can feel it right in your heart chakra. So I just went by that, and I started realizing everybody has their own chakra scale. And the advantage to this is, these chakras are all connected to these glands of the system, that glands that turn all of our systems on and off, insulin and thyroid and, right? So when you hum the note that would go with your thyroid, for example, I can help you right now today find out what your chakra scale is. We can find your lowest note that you can comfortably hum, and you can hum it and you feel your sacrum, vibrate. And then I can tell you what the specific note would be for your thyroid. And these are like emotional notes. These chakra notes deal with all of our emotions and balance our emotions. So that when you can hum your own chakra scale or listen to the MP3s that I made with these fabulous chimes that I have.
Beautiful. I've never seen something like that. What is that?
Yeah, these are called choir chimes.
Choir chimes.
And it's kind of the new age version of handbells.
Oh, okay. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are. And they tell you what note.
Whoa.
So yeah, so I have like 4 octaves of these notes, and I play with them, and I created all of the possible chakra scales on each note, all of the 12 notes of the scale.
So depending on the lowest one where we start, right? Now, what's funny is if my voice is not what it used to be prior to the Light Warrior training camp last year, does that mean now I can go lower, but I can't go higher. So does that mean my chakras have shifted? Like, no.
No. What's important is, do you feel it in your chakras? Do you if yeah, it because I think our voices do change. I mean, little kids' voices are certainly very different, and then they go through puberty, and that changes. Men's voices, you know, at puberty,
Yeah,
they
that's
get really,
interesting.
really shaky. But because kind of all those biological biochemistry that changes in their
Right.
bodies, you can hear it in the sound of their voice. Yeah, so there, but what's important is just finding the root chakra note, and then the other ones will be, I'll know exactly what they are, and I can help you feel them and then figure out what that is. But the chakra sounds, and in general, your personal chakra sounds are to balance your emotions.
Okay. So the root chakra, where exactly on the body do we feel it when we hit that note? Is it the perineum?
Your sits bone, I call it. Yeah, your
It's
sacrum, your sits bone.
like kind of at the bottom.
Right at the bottom of the sacrum, yep.
Okay.
That's a hard one to feel, and some people can't feel it right away. You have to do it 3 or 4 times because, well, let's face it, we're sitting on it. I mean, it's not going to vibrate.
Yeah, I mean, I have to jump up and down to get that
And if people have a really hard time, feeling that, then I try to figure out, according to what I heard their voice doing, what their heart chakra note would be, because you can really feel that note because it's your lungs and
Right.
it's not as dense a part of the body, and you can really feel it.
Okay.
So one way or the other, I can usually,
And
help
then
people.
what, and then the choir bell, because it's so not loud, but like I've noticed that I used to, my spiritual healer used to have all these singing bowls, and then she would play all the different sizes, and I really liked the big ones because it was very low, and that's probably where I needed to be more rooted so that I could feel in my sacrum, no problem. It was like,
Yeah, well,
whoa, yeah.
that was your note. And yeah, I think the lowest note I have here is this. This is a big one.
Ooh.
That's pretty low. That is the G, an octave and a fourth below middle C.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, I've got lots of home play to do. Okay, I'm gonna put a little wrinkle here, Kathleen. Because you may not have heard this, but I'm sure you could figure it out because of the chakra work you've already done. So recently I've been learning from one of my mentors who has been for many years has contact with off-world beings. These off-world beings actually taught the Egyptians. Now, somewhere along the teaching where they were training, healing, etheric surgery, all these kinds of things, one of the pharaohs decided they were going to delete 5 of the 13 chakras so that the average everyday non-royal, if you will, person would have access to the 7. We've been teaching the 7, and the off-world beings say, well, it's now to reactivate the 5. And what's fascinating is the 5 that are missing are kind of like the black keys. You got C to C, so they're the black keys. So the position on the, like, this is actually the 7th chakra, and the heart actually has 2, the heart in and the heart out, and they're different colors. So now that I know where those are, potentially I could, because vibrate and feel which note it is there for all 13. Well, 13th actually is up here, but it's the first of the next octave. So I may or may not be able to feel this, but I'm so sensitive I probably could. This is the 13th.
Yeah,
That's it.
it's hard to feel. I can't feel that one either. I can feel the ones, the humming is going on inside the physicality of the body, and I
Yeah.
can feel those ones, but I can't feel the extra.
Yeah, but this 13th is the first chakra of the next, is the root chakra of the next octave of our evolution. So, theoretically, do we really need to feel that? I don't know. But I think it's fascinating.
The brain knows it's there.
Yeah, that's right. So, Kathleen, you're going to be like, "Ooh, I'm going to do a more
Well, no,
expansive
I have
13th
figured out.
chakra."
I figured out what I call the ascension chakra scales. I mean, it starts with the Earth Star chakra as
Oh,
being
okay, cool. Yeah.
so that's one, and then your root chakra is two,
Yeah, there's a different system.
right? Then they go there's the, and then this one up here is eight, right?
Okay, yep.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
That way is how I get, and I figured out the scale that happened that
Oh,
scale.
okay.
That's why whole tone, why people like whole tones, because there's three different sections of that whole scale that are just three whole tones in a row. And so whole tone scales are people have been using them for healing. They figured out these whole tones are important. I don't think they understand they correlate to your chakras. No, so,
Okay.
but when you learn your chakra scale and you hum it, your body gets so excited. It's like, Mom, they're playing my song. I've waited so
Okay.
long, you know.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of my colleague, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson. He is a originally a music student, then became a chiropractor. And then he realized that there are certain notes in the universe that would be able to shift the spine back into place. And so he was like, wow, there's a note for the healthy liver, there's a note for the healthy pancreas, there's a note for the healthy L5, T1, whatever.
Yep, there's a
And
note
then,
for every vertebrae.
and then he discovered that if he balanced the brain, however, that all the other frequencies would even out. So he focused his brainwave entrainment on just the brain, but the way he does is very different from most brainwave entrainment because I actually don't like most brainwave entrainment because of the they try to get you into theta or beta or whatever, and they go wah 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 wah, and that's annoying. Like those of us who are musicians, I think it's just annoying. Okay, but Dr. Thompson does it inside the brain, so there's maybe a 5 cycles per second shift. Inside, so
Helping
the
his
left ear
ear.
and the right ear actually hear something slightly off,
Well,
but we
we
don't.
can't hear below 15 hertz.
Yeah, so it's
But
very, very.
the body can react. If you put 8 hertz in one ear and 12 hertz in another
That's
ear,
right.
your body will also hear 10 hertz.
Yeah,
The
that's
average,
it.
yeah. So
Yeah,
that's
that's
why I can't.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't need the wah 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 sound at all. But his is very, very interesting. So I went to his place. He was doing this program that only at the time he could do, and they were trying to get it computerized. But basically, he would run somebody through the entire scale, and literally we did what you just did at the beginning of this, right? And we would sing it. And then he would actually do our heart rate variability and figure out which tone got us into that parasympathetic sympathetic balance. And mine was interesting. It was actually, well, interesting to me. It was F plus 27. So it was like
F
between F
sharp.
and F sharp, there's like, if there's 100 gradations between it was F plus 27. So when I sang it, he recorded my voice and then played it back to me with pretty music so I wouldn't get bored. So that's called bio-tuning. So it's very similar to what you're talking about. And then we actually pumped the music that was customized to me through a sound table. So the entire body would vibrate for that particular
That's powerful.
tune. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Of course, it's not very portable.
No.
So humming is very portable.
That's it. It's always with you. I mean, and even during the pandemic, you know, I did a lot of humming because humming creates nitric oxide in your sinuses.
Right.
So you can
Yes.
kill germs in your sinuses by humming. And if you want to hum the notes that vibrate this part of your body, and it's going to be a note that's kind of in the upper part of your speaking range, but you could also just kind of put your fingers next to your nose and just kind of hum up and down.
Oh, I can
And
feel it.
yes, and you'll find the note where you get the most vibration. Go a little bit at a time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's kind of going from here to here to here to here.
Exactly. And
Oh,
once you
because
know,
lots of people are having sinus issues right now. They're congested, they're having sinus issues. So what you're saying is if you can put your fingertips here and hum and feel the vibration, that's likely the most helpful in that area.
yes, and your sinuses are going to start to drain. Dr. Gordon, what's his name? I think he's a cancer doctor in New York City. But he did lots of experiments with sound, and he had a person who had chronic sinusitis for his entire life. He hummed 1 hour a day for 4 days in a row, and it was gone.
1 hour a day for 4 days in a row. Wow.
So, you
Wow.
know, half an hour here, half an hour there, 15 minutes here. treatments, and we did it 4 days in a row, and he cleared his chronic sinusitis. None of the medications, nothing would drain.
That's amazing.
Vibrate, vibrate.
Well, it makes sense because, they've discovered like the lymphatics in here, now they call them glymphatics. Like if they don't move, right, you get congestion, like any other place where it doesn't move. So if you're vibrating, you're literally moving the fluid so it can drain. Like your lymphatics can drain, and therefore your sinus is clear if you're draining your lymphatics. Makes so much sense.
Yes. And I, Sherry has a, Sherry says that the note B universally is, she calls it the water gate. It controls all the fluids and all the water in the body. So
B,
what
huh?
I, the note B. So what I did, and I did this with a number of her theories, is I took my horn, I played the note B, I sang the harmonics, made all the chords, so we had all the harmonics of the note B, and I created a lymph audio file that will move your lymph.
Great. I'm getting that one.
I've got one for
Yeah.
lymph, I've got one for thyroid, I've got one for digestion, and
Oh,
then
that's great. Well,
yeah.
ascent, the whole like elevation or expansion of our consciousness seems to come with some quote unquote side effects on the body. In that I have found a lot of sensitive souls will swell. Like when there's like an opening, like an astrological event, like a big thing where our consciousness expands, it's like the body's like, it's almost like the water, which I understand now as a conscious being, the water is now imbued with these codes. And unless we know how to handle it, it hangs around a little longer than I would prefer. So some people were literally, I, at one point, Kathleen, I was so big. I had gained 45 pounds when I was doing a lot of energy healing work. And I thought, well, I'm not changing my exercise, my diet, nothing like that. And I thought, I asked God, I'm like, okay, so am I getting fat? And the answer was no. And I'm like, well, what is this? Like, I literally was wearing a jacket that I was gonna rip, like the Hulk. Like, I was gonna go, and it was like, I was like this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got so, it started in the belly because there's a lot of room there, right? Started in the belly, and then it started the boobs, and then here, and then the hips, and then finally the legs. And my massage therapists were like, we're kind of at a loss. You're not that, but you're definitely poofy. So talk about lymph, right? Being, just stopped. And long story why, how I figured that out, but it was ascension related. And then finally was able to manage the energy in the codes and the water and was able to shrink down to a more manageable size. But that was fascinating. And it would have been really helpful, I think, had I, been practicing the stuff that you're talking about. The humming, the moving the lymph in this very natural way. I have a big machine that I've since bought. I think those vibration plates. Power plate. And I love it. It's just very loud and not portable.
I can't deal with loud.
Okay, yes, because you're so clairaudient and very sensitive here. Now, you said mentioned about where you feel the vibration of your humming in the body. What if it's an extremity? I'm like, I'm having some challenges with feeling my knee, for example, or feeling my elbow, like when I'm humming. So how do we figure out what the tune is here?
Well, the knee will probably be about the same note as the root chakra.
Okay.
That kind of goes all the way down the legs. And then when you get your toes vibrating, that's your earth star chakra. But there's only really a half step, small space between two, distance between two notes. There's only a half step between the root chakra and your earth star chakra. So any place on your legs is going to be somewhere in between that half step. Like you were saying, if it's F, it might be F minus 47.
Right.
Hurts. So I would, your anything in your arms, in your hands, and it will be heart related, because
Oh, okay.
so the heart chakra note
Oh,
would be
okay.
the note that would work here, and the sake and the root
That
chakra note
makes
would be the one that
sense.
works, with the legs.
Okay. Well, that makes sense also too. I mean, between the Egyptian pathways wrap around like a spiral, and the Chinese pathways make a straight line. So that's heart meridian and pericardium meridian. They go right down here. So,
Yeah.
yeah. That's kind of neat. And so tell us about your book, where to get it, what people will expect when they get a copy of your book.
Humming for Health: Sound Tools for Physical and Emotional Balance. The chapters in the book, if I just give you a quick overview of what's in it.
Sure.
When you get older, you can't see.
Oh, we'll have to hum our eyes. I have to work on that too.
So the first chapter is listening or receiving a sound. How to hear your soul sound. Matter vibrates. Sound is vibration. Therefore, sound affects matter. It took me 20 years to figure out how to say that simply. Because people say,
Okay.
what's sound healing? Matter vibrates. And people go, well, yeah, okay, we agree there, okay. And sound is vibration. Yeah, of course. Put those two together. Therefore, sound affects matter. You just have to know the right note, the right frequency for that right piece of
Okay.
matter, right?
Perfect.
There's a chapter on toning, humming, giving voice to a sigh, mantras. So when I've just got a couple on the piano that I've created in the last couple of weeks. One is how wide can I open my heart? And the other one is gather yourself, because I'm always
Ooh.
out there. Gather yourself. But I write them in the key of the chakra in the area where the energy is being held and is being stuck. So I
Okay.
write little mantra songs for myself, and I record them, and I play them while I'm doing the dishes, you know, or
Ooh.
it's just a way of when your ear hears your voice telling you something,
Yep.
it listens.
Right.
So I the sound of my if I hear the sound of my voice saying, you know, asking the question, how wide can I open my heart? And there's a response that's just unique than if I sang it to someone else. But when you sing to yourself, when you hum to yourself, your brain is so interested in what you're doing. I mean, the brain is listening to the sound of our voice all day long to know what frequencies are strong, what frequencies are weak, what do we have to put on the back burner, we have to get these tasks done, we got this much sleep, we got this much nutrition, you know, what you know, the brain is doing that triage all day long. And the sound of your voice is informing it what the body needs. So the brain is listening all day long, and when it hears the sound of your voice coming back to it, that feedback loop is very powerful. So I highly recommend, I mean, one of the sessions that I do is teaching people how to, I have a mantra writing session, and we just come up with an affirmation. What do they want to work on? Where's the energy in the body? What chakra does it go with? What's your personal chakra note for that part of that bo of your body? Let's write a little simple little mantra around that note, and we'll use do and mi and sol and the important notes that resonate with that note. And I have them sing it, and I create a little piano accompaniment, and I put it on a tape, and I send it to them. And
Wow.
then they can listen to that little affirmation with their, I have them singing it. I
That's
record their voice
amazing.
singing it, and then I go to the piano and I, you know,
So
create
when
the
they're singing, are they humming or they're
they're
toning?
singing they're singing a phrase, an affirmation phrase of something they
Oh.
want to work on. You know, if it's a self-power issue, it's, you know, something like, I'm a powerful person. And we just do a little phrase like that,
Oh.
repeat it over and over again. I record their voice, create an accompaniment, send them the tape. And it shifts
Right.
things. It shifts
Oh, that's cool.
things.
Sometimes I giggle because I think about like back in church, my old Catholic days where the priest couldn't sing on key to save his life. It was so
Catholics
funny.
can't sing.
And we were all like, you know, in the pews. And so we'd go home and we would like pretend, like it's so funny how children do this. It's like, you know, like Body of Christ, and like we'd be on tune, right?
No, but in the old Latin, ora pro nobis, I can't remember what all the Latin was, but what I heard in my little ears was, oh, rotten donuts, eat them on a rainy day. Because I was
That's
little Latin.
hysterical. Oh my gosh.
In my experiences growing up, you know, Catholic, and Catholics are afraid to sing. You want to sing, you got to get to good Baptist church. They can
Aha,
sing.
yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. Yeah, you don't go to Catholic church for a good song. I mean, at least the priests don't get vocal training.
No, and that's why a lot of it is just repeating the same note over and over again.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if they were on tune, it wasn't that bad, but it was, you know, if they're really off tune, we just like the all of us would be trying not to laugh.
And he's dying a thousand deaths knowing he sounds like that.
And then he's feeling like he's forced to sing because they told him he had to sing, right? For the entire congregation. Thesoundlady.com, right, is where people can find you, and then also your services. So you work with people one-on-one.
I work with people one-on-one on Zoom. I had a studio years ago, and then the pandemic happened, and then I went online, and I can do everything online pretty much that I could do, in person. So I work with people online. I help them find their personal chakra scales, or I teach them how to do a sonic selfie.
Nice. A
Many
sonic
people do
selfie. I
this, a
love that.
sonic
That's
selfie,
beautiful.
which is really to take a recording of your voice, and now you'll have a voice print.
Right.
And you can see one of the, and this is using Sherry's software, and it's free. You can go online to
Sound Health Portal.
soundhealthportal.com. And you can take your own voice print, and you can see the pattern of notes you use when you speak. Da 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 dee, da da da. We all
Right.
have this pattern of notes that we use. What are the notes that you use more than others? What are the notes you don't use at all? What systems do they connect to? And is there a correlation to your health as to why? E. Can't quite get that E out. Well, E is about self-expression. E is about wet mucous membranes and lungs. Do you have a lot of allergies? I mean, so there's so many things that you can figure out by just getting a simple recording of your voice and getting a bar graph of how many times you used each note of the scale.
Okay.
And so that would be your sonic selfie. And then we could create a mantra around the weak song, the weak note, the note that's not there, or the note you
Okay.
don't use very often, and get you to use it more and gradually reintroduce it back into your frequency matrix.
Okay, that's great. It's
So
so funny when I was talking to Sherry, because she's so, you know, incredibly clairaudient, just dawned on me, she's probably analyzing my voice this whole time we're talking. So I said, Sherry, do you turn it off or are you analyzing me? Right. And she's like, without skipping a beat, she goes, "You have no ego." And I'm like, that is the nicest thing anybody said to me this week. It was so funny, right? And after we hung, you know, clicked the record button off, she said some other amazing things. I'm like, oh, I wish I recorded that. But it was so interesting, just fascinating. The work
She can
that.
hear. Well, and I can do one of the things that she can do too is I can hear the sounds coming out of people that they can't hear.
Oh.
So for example, because our body, our brain, sometimes you'll hear a sound in your ear. It's not, I'm not talking about tinnitus, but sometimes you'll hear a high-pitched sound in your ear, and it'll be there for a bit and then it'll go away.
Right.
Right? And this is your brain trying to balance something that's out of balance in your body. So
Oh.
if you hear that sound and you hum it yourself and amplify it, it will work, a lot faster. But there's those little sounds that the body is making. I mean, Sherry can touch a tree and find the frequency of the tree, or hold a banana and she can hear the sound of the banana. I'm not quite that adept at it, but I can. I mean, I was on the phone with a friend of mine who was a doctor, and I kept hearing this high-pitched sound in my ear. I said, I know this isn't mine. I said, excuse me, I have to sing this to you. I think it's for you, so let me sing it. She was okay. So I hummed the song through the telephone, and I stopped, and she goes, oh, thank you. I have had an earache for a couple of days, and it just wouldn't go away. And as soon as you sang that note, it left.
Neat.
So I can hear, Sherry is able to do that. You can kind of hear sounds come. The body is making these frequencies to try and balance itself. And they're unconscious. You can't hear them, but someone like Sherry and myself can hear them and sing it back to you and go, oh.
Oh, neat. Yeah, very, very cool. All right, so thesoundlady.com, where we can find you, your services. The book is on the website, Amazon,
No,
everything.
actually, it's not on Amazon. It's
Not
on
Amazon, okay.
Rose Dog Books.
Oh, okay, Rose Dot Books, okay.
Rosedogbooks.com. I
Perfect.
also so you can just get a PDF copy download of it on my web page, I think for I don't know, $9 or $10. But I also have a CD from with my friend Chorn that I call Prayer Songs, and these are all the meditation songs that I did for myself for years. I finally recorded them. There's
And where's the lymph one?
well if yeah so if you go to thesoundlady.com under shop tab,
Okay.
you'll see the lymph and the thyroid and the individual chakra scales and the colon and the kidneys, and that's all there to download and listen to. And all the types of sessions that I give, the personal chakra scale session, the mantra sessions, the sonic selfie sessions,
Okay.
I do online. I have a new, it's not quite ready for prime time, but I've created a series of notes that will take you out of an anxiety attack or PTSD. It really will come. And it's one of those universal things that will work for everybody. So I was trying to figure out how can I help people if they don't know what their personal chakra scale is, and why do they have to pay me first to learn how to do that? Can I just create something that would automatically work for everybody? And I figured it out. I went into deep meditation and I figured it out. And so I call it the emotional stabilizer.
Oh, that's a good name. Okay.
And I haven't copyrighted it yet. I've got it out to a few people who are testing it and
Ah.
giving me feedback. But when I finish it, I'm going to be pretty excited to be able to kind of get that out into the world, because people, I mean, there's so many people dealing with anxiety.
Totally. Yeah. When you finish it, please let us know. We'll share it with our community so they can, get it directly from you as soon as it's launched. This is definitely a lot of anxiety for highly sensitive people who feel too much, Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
And PTSD, it can take you, come down, bring that right down.
Nice.
It's gonna balance. I figured out how to play all of everybody's chakra notes in this certain, just in a chromatic scale, basically. But the perfect fifth above, five notes above the chakra note, is the note that correlates to the emotional energy field of that chakra.
Okay.
So it's playing all the chakra notes and all of the chakra balancing notes, so it
Ah,
calms everything down,
very
and it
nice.
works in like 10 minutes. I gave it to a person who was very bipolar, and right now he's in this like ecstatic phase, and he's just been going so fast and he couldn't slow down. And I sent it to him. I said, "Give this a try," and he was like, "It's very relaxing."
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, I think I'm onto
Very
something,
cool.
but I got to get a little more feedback, and then before I, send it out to the public. But I'm got a lot of hope for it to be able to help people.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, as we wind down, would love for you if you have like a, last words of wisdom for those listening in or watching.
Well, I would just like to emphasize that you have a hidden superpower in your voice that you really don't understand, and it's not your fault. I think we should teach in second grade how kids become their, why not? It's something that's so personal, and it's always with us. And the sound of our voices is the most powerful healing tool you have at your disposal, 24/7. So it's learning how to use it, experimenting with it. And this is for people who like sound and use their ears. People who are really visual are not really going to be drawn to this type of work, right? It's people who love to sing. It's people who love to listen to music. It's people who can, feel music, and music gets them all excited. A visual artist might not be interested in this at all. But that was like when I was trying to visualize my chakras for those years, and I got black, nothing, and nothing. But then when I could feel the vibration, it was like, yay, now I understand it. So it's the power of the voice to, if you feel that people aren't listening to you, maybe there's something in your voice that's just saying, I don't trust you. It's not important what you're saying because of the way you're saying it.
Oh my gosh, I just had a huge aha when you said that. Like, there's a friend of mine who is sharing that she isn't being listened to. And but when I listen to her voice, it's, I don't know how to describe it, but it feels like a weak, like she's weak, but she's not. She's a very strong person, but the voice sounds weak, almost like, oh, I'm not going to be listened to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to describe
Yeah,
it.
but so there could be a blockage in the thyroid,
Yeah.
in the throat chakra somewhere
Yeah.
that you can definitely clear,
Wow.
knowing the right notes to hum, and working with maybe it's a past life thing. I've also been certified recently as a integrative soul tech, an integrative soul technology, which is a way of finding these all the unconscious patterns that are running us behind the scenes. It's a way of bringing them forward, having a little conversation with them, giving them a new job, thanking them for their old past help, whatever, it is not serving me anymore. Okay, what
Right.
now? Give them a new job, put them
Right.
back in, fill the space up with light, and you can hear
Nice.
all kinds of wonderful things.
Oh, how fun. Oh,
Yeah.
that's great. Well, Kathleen, it's been such a pleasure to have you on Light Warrior Radio today. I love your work. It's fantastic. Look really forward to that emotional stabilizer coming out, and I'm definitely going to your website to get the lymph one because I'm always very fascinated with water and lymph. So anything related to that.
Yeah, well, it's me playing the horn and playing the harmonics and singing into the horn and all of the harmonics of the note B. And
That's perfect.
B and C are about, B is about small circulation and C is about large muscle circulation. So B and C.
Nice. Very
Yes.
cool.
Yeah.
So thesoundlady.com, everyone. So thank you so much, Kathleen, and want to thank
Thank you.
all of our listeners and our subscribers and from watching in. If you are watching this on YouTube or any other video channel, go ahead and hit the subscribe button so we can bring you more beautiful, amazing people. All right.
Wonderful. And
Thank
if
you.
people want to contact me, there's a form on the front page of the website. So
Perfect.
thesoundlady.com.
Yay!
Well,
Awesome,
thank you so
awesome.
much for this opportunity to talk to all of your people. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Until next time, bye for now.